Sunday the 10th of December 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Make Room. Sermon title, Make Room for Something New. Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. Talk by Bob Crowther. There was an audio dropout near the beginning of the Bible reading, so I'll read the first couple of verses in for you now, then we'll continue with Julie Clist's rendering of the rest of the Bible reading. The Branch from Jesse, Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord.
He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for all the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just pray for Bob now that you would anoint him, Lord. And he's struggling with a cough and a cold. He's had it some time. But Lord, and we all of us suffer from those things. But he has come this morning to bring your word to us. And I pray that you'd strengthen him. I pray that you would just be bound over that cough. That he would be able to speak your word this morning. And that we would be able to receive it from you as it's spoken from him. Would you bless him? Would you anoint him this morning, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'll leave all the Christmas cracker jokes to the expert, but I've a few light bulb jokes for you here. How many TV evangelists does it take to change a light bulb? Just one. But for the light to continue to shine, please phone the number down here and pledge your donation now. How many members of the Mothers Union does it take to change a light bulb?
Six.
Six? One to change the bulb and five to serve refreshments. How many stalwarts of an Anglican congregation does it take to change a light bulb? 21. One to change it and 20 to say how much they preferred the old one. You know who you are. How many Roman Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None. We only use candles in this church. How many Mormons does it take to change a light bulb? Five. One man to change the bulb and four wives to tell him how to do it properly. And how many atheists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but afterwards they're still in the dark. Well, good morning. And it's great to see so many people here. When I sat down there earlier, there was about six, so it's brilliant to see so many people. And thank you for coming in all the way through that snow. I've noticed that over recent years, I've often been asked to do one of the talks that leads up to Christmas. That could just be coincidence, or perhaps Martin's giving me an early Christmas present, or feels a little bit sorry for me. Because let's face it, surely Christmas talks are a bit of an easy gig, aren't they? You can either have a fairly relaxed and family-friendly talk, just about the nativity and the baby Jesus, and expanding on the story of Jesus' birth. Or if you want to go into a little more depth, you can focus on prophecy foretold and wonder at the clues in the Bible that all lead to Jesus' birth. Our reading today just being one of them. But you know, in other ways, speaking at Christmas can be something of a challenge. Because when we come to prepare our talk, any talk for that matter, but especially at Christmas time, any speaker will want to find something different to expand upon, maybe a different approach. Christmas is surely the best known period in the Christian calendar. And anyone standing here at this time of year will want to bring something fresh to that Christmas story. So my preparation for this talk, I found myself being led towards one key point regarding the Nativity. The birth of Jesus and ultimately the 3 years that led to his death on the cross are truly the greatest gift that we could ever have been given. And with any gift, there comes a key question. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that gift, the greatest gift that could ever have been given to you? Our sermon series this Christmas is called Make Room. But if we're going to make room for something new, then surely something old needs to be moved aside, put further away, put into the far corner, perhaps even thrown away entirely. What do we need to get rid of so that we can make room for Jesus Christ in our lives? But I want to get to back to basics for just a moment, because I think it's important we understand the answer to this question. We should ask ourselves, why? Why? Why did God send Jesus to earth to spend time with mankind and ultimately to die a very early death in a particularly unpleasant way? There's this very unique three-party Holy Trinity relationship that can be quite hard for us to get our heads around. God the Father, Jesus his Son, and of course the Holy Spirit. All one and the same person. Because Jesus is God. And that wonderful passage that we usually hear this time of year from John's Gospel, and I marvel at it each time it's read to us. It tries so hard to help us to understand that in the very beginning, before creation, Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. And God chose to come to earth in human form and spend time with the children he had created. Why? Why would he do that? Well, I'm giving out no prizes if you can answer that question, because if you were paying attention to Martin's talk a couple of weeks ago, he told you the answer. And Martin said that God was heartbroken. That's the word he used. Heartbroken. Heartbroken at the fall of man. God created mankind in his own likeness and created us for his pleasure, for a relationship. He created a paradise for us to live in and gave us free will. That we could choose to love him, rather than wander around zombie-like, just being there for his entertainment. Someone he can engage with, rather than just look upon like we would maybe fish in a fish tank, just to enjoy them. And how did man choose to use this free will we were given? We chose to turn away from God. To do things our way, to act without even considering the eternal consequences that would be a result of our actions. We chose to disobey God and to do our own thing, to sin. Sin is doing what God doesn't want you to do, or not doing what God does want you to do. We chose to disobey our Creator, and that broke God's heart. He created us for a relationship, for his pleasure. And we turned away from him and it broke his heart. And God gave mankind every opportunity to turn back to him. The candles, they tell us he sent prophets to tell us to turn our lives around. He anointed kings and leaders to lead his people in the journey back to him. And he showed us time and again that his way is the way. And mankind learned and changed its ways and then slipped and then forgot and then returned to its old ways, became separated again from God. And he was heartbroken. So he sent his son to walk amongst us. Not the Messiah the Jews expected, not a warrior king to teach us how to fight, but a loving brother to teach us how to live the way that God wants, to show us, to change people's lives, to heal, to love, and ultimately, having shown us the way that we can each rebuild that relationship with God, to wipe our slate clean, to die on the cross to pay the price for all those bad things that we had done and were yet to do, to be the sacrifice of atonement for those sins against God, to pay back what each of us owed but could never afford to repay, to settle the debt needed to bring us back into our Heavenly Father's welcoming arms. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ. But God never took away that free will, and our loving Father left us with that ability to still make our own choices. And we can choose whether we accept his gift or we tuck it away in a cupboard, rarely to see the light of day. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your gift from God? I have an annual health assessment at work, and for several years they say the same thing. You're in pretty good shape for a man of your age. It's always the same thing. You're too fat and you don't drink enough water. So I've lost a bit of weight. Drink a bit more water. Every year it's the same. You're still overweight. They want me to be about 11 stone. I think I'd be like this. They'd be looking like this. You're still overweight. You don't drink enough water. So after this year's assessment, I thought it's time perhaps I look a little bit more seriously at what I eat. So I've started seeing a nutritionist. She's a very nice lady, but the look of horror on her face when I explained to her what I thought was a healthy diet was something to behold. Personally, I think my current diet is very much in tune with my Christian life. I like bread and wine. With a bit of cheese sometimes. Now, she can tell me all the food that I'm supposed to eat, all the goodies that I really should be giving up. And what I really now to start swapping those for. But much as my darling wife might like it, my nutritionist will not be coming around our house every evening to cook our meals. I haven't been fed by anybody for over 50 years, so I don't expect she's going to spoon feed me to make sure I'm getting the right mix of proteins, carbs and good fats from all the right sources. Here's one final light bulb joke for you. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb has to want to change. You see, I can be given the best advice, the best list of food by the best possible nutritionist, but if I choose to ignore it, then I've wasted her time and mine. I have to want to change. I have to accept the fact that I need to change, which should give me the desire to change and then give me the resolve to do something about it. Jesus has given us our own list of how we need to feed ourselves and has taught us how we can better ourselves. He's shown us how to love the Good Samaritan. He's shown us that God's love is for all, no matter who you are. Legion, that the Gerasene demoniac, the Samaritan woman at the well, the healing of all those lepers. He showed us that whatever we have done, God still loves us, and that wonderful relationship he desires with us can be rebuilt. It's never too late. The prodigal son. And by his death, he's now paid our debt, wiped the slate clean, and opened the door for us to return to that relationship with God. We've been given that gift. And now we have to make a choice. Will we smile nicely, politely, nod in church, sing a few happy songs, and then put the gift away in the cupboard for another week, perhaps even for another year? Put it with all those other gifts that are really very nice and you might use one day, but equally might just sit there until they end up on Bob's bric-a-brac stall at the Christmas market. I will be taking donations throughout the year. Or do you use it? Do you take that gift out of its box? Give it pride of place. Put it on display for everyone to see and use it every single day. Because that's what we should be celebrating at Christmas. The best gift that we could possibly ever receive. A reuniting with God through the glory of Jesus Christ coming to earth. But to use that gift, we have to want to change. Have to want to make room in our lives for to use this gift. To rebuild our relationship with God. To do all the things that Jesus taught us. We need to make room in our hearts to love, to forgive things that have passed, but also to ask for forgiveness, to be proactive and say sorry for things that we might have done that have caused upset to others, to help our neighbours. It's snowing outside, if you hadn't noticed. How many elderly neighbours could we help? How recently have we just popped in to see them on the way to the shops to ask, do you need anything? If you can't get out of the house, I'll get it for you. Isn't that what Jesus taught us in his parable of the Good Samaritan? He told this story in response to the question of how we can earn eternal life and then said, well, which one of these men was the good neighbour? And the so-called expert in the law, he gave us a response. And then Jesus instructed us, yes, now go and do likewise. Now go and behave in that way with everyone else. Go and be a good neighbour to everyone. We also need to make room to grow. Make room in our lives for prayer, for a bit more Bible study, a little more quiet time. Just to make sure we can make the most of this precious gift that we've been given. But here is the crux, friends. We have to want to do it. We have to want to use the gift to make room. And I'm sorry to say that to make room for Jesus in our lives might mean that we have to throw something else out. That might be the tricky bit. Let's be honest, we quite like our lives. We're quite comfortable in them. Got a lot going on and it's going to be hard work to give something up. To stop doing things that we like doing. I like my bread and wine, but if I want to be fitter, leaner and healthier, if I truly want to change, then I'm going to have to make room in my life for some lifestyle changes. And the honest truth is, the fact that I cannot get away from is that this is going to take a bit of effort on my part. And sometimes that will mean not taking the easy option and not following the crowd. I heard this story the other day. I'm told it's true. It's about a couple who are going to Morocco. They're walking through the Casbah, which is like the shopping area. And they go into a leather goods shop, predominantly selling leather goods. They also sell red fezes, a big shelf of red fezes. The man goes up to it, puts one on his head. A shopkeeper comes up and says, English? He said, yes, yes, we are. Ah, just like that. He said, yes. He said, oh, right. Do you know Tommy Cooper? Who? He said, Tommy Cooper, do you know Tommy? I do not know this man that you speak of. All I know is every Englishman comes in here, he takes a fez and goes, aha, just like that. As Christians, there are times when we are asked not to do what everybody else does. Not to follow the crowd. We're asked to stand out because we're different. And that sometimes needs a bit of willpower and a bit of forethought. We've been shown what we're supposed to do, how we are supposed to live. But the responsibility is now ours to make the effort to do something about it. What do we need to throw out of our lives to make room for something new? And what better time of the year is there to reflect on any changes that we might need to make in our lives? Christmas can be a very busy time. You're buying presents for friends and family, perhaps preparing for receiving visitors or preparing to go visiting someone else. But the Christmas period should also be a time to slow down, reflect on what we are really celebrating. And New Year brings us the opportunity to make resolutions that will change our lives. Friends, you've all been given a gift. I urge you to accept it. And once you've accepted it, don't hide it away. Accept the gift of Jesus Christ into your life this Christmas and commit to using it. Commit to change. Change whatever you need to in your life. Clear it out to make room for Jesus Christ. Not just this Christmas, but every day of the year. And show your Heavenly Father that His gift of His Son to you personally was well worth the price that He paid. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge the high price that was paid for our salvation. The cost to You for re-establishing our broken relationship with You. As we approach a new year, let our prayer be this. Show us the way. Show us the way that we might change our lives, to get rid of the old and bring in the new, so that we can create a space for You to fill with Your Holy Spirit, that we may live our lives in a way that brings You glory and is worthy of the gift of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.
Really good, Bob. Thank you so much. You see? Of Jesus is the question, and it's a wonderful question.